How can God be good when there is so much suffering in the world? How can God be good when there is so much suffering in the world? Job had friends, and when they saw the troubles that he faced, they went to see him. And the Bible says, so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I was born in a very tiny village on the northeastern part of Zambia, very close to Malawi. The village was far from any police protection. We just lived, by the grace of God, we were protected where we lived. Today you may have heard the BBC have covered the story of the northern Mozambique, where the Islamic chaps, they call themselves Al-Shabaab, have gone to the villages that have no police protection, villages that are very vulnerable, and they have gone to kill people, beheading people for whatever reason. People have their own land where they have been cultivating. They are not looking for anything out there. They are just content to be where they are. And these people suddenly, they have nowhere to cultivate. They have no houses, and they are being looked after by just well-wishers, as it were. That's in Africa. You go to the Middle East, you look at Yemen. There are children who have been born, and they have never known what peace is. The whole educational system is messed up. You go to Myanmar just now, soldiers are killing people. They're shooting people, and we have the United Nations completely powerless, watching people being shot down. And really, the people are completely helpless. You go to Europe, you have got Russia and the opposition, people being ill-treated. You go to South America, the political troubles which are there. You go to North America, you have the police and the people. You have Australia just now, there are issues to do with rape for how the politicians have dealt with those cases. What I'm saying is there is trouble everywhere on the continent. And sometimes it's so unfair. Why should a villager lose their house? Why should children born in Yemen only know trouble? What have they done? What have they done wrong? How can God be good when there is so much suffering in the world? The story of Job, you know that it's an ancient book, but it is part of canon of scripture. Job did some priestly functions for his family. We are told in verse 5 there. And Job was a man that not only did the people see him as upright. You look at verse 1 there, Job, that this man was blameless and upright, feared God, and shunned evil. You see that it is not just the people who say that. Even God himself, the Lord said in verse 8 to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Blameless, upright, a man who fears God." That is Job. You find that in chapter 2 and in verse 3 there, you know, again, encounter with Satan. You find the same words. There is none like him on the face of the earth. A blameless and an upright man. One who fears God and shuns evil. A man that maintains the integrity, you know, that God had given him. Now we're going to see in the life of Job that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of adversity, one can maintain their integrity before God. God is good and is able to keep the integrity of his people. He is able to maintain his closeness to his people. Now, let's look very closely at Job's character. I think it's very important to observe that. If you look at Job's character, you know, we are told that he is blameless. He is upright. It's, in other words, if you had people who are trying to interrogate his life, you know, whether he was paying tax or not, he was a man that didn't avoid any, I mean, he was not a tax evader, as it were. Tax evasion was not part of him. Corruption was not part of him. If the media were released on Job, they would never find fault with him. And he's a man that the Bible says feared God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know how much we know about the fear of the Lord. The Lord loves his people. And when people fear the Lord, they honor him in their lives. They know that he's in charge of their lives. It is only him that can give us life. And without God, we'll end up, you know, in hell. Job turned away from evil. How much does this describe a church member today? Here is an ancient book. Here is a Bible, the book of Job. A long time ago, there was this man that was blameless. I mean, it's very difficult to be blameless. Many are the times that we are fought in one way or the other, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. But Job is described by God as being blameless. He has been described as an upright man. He is a man that feared the Almighty God, and he turned away from evil. How nice it would be to have our churches, you know, in the world today, where the society can say, if you want blameless people, look at the church. If you want to look at people that are upright, who do right in every way, look at the church. If you want to see people who fear God, you know, look at the believers. If you want to see people who have turned away from evil, look at the church. Many are the times that many churches in the world today are accused of hypocrisy. There are a lot of scandals, you know, taking place within the church, you know, communities. And the world is watching. The world over is watching. And there's so much in the media, the world over, about the hypocrisy in the churches. Only if we can be like Job. And I know it's not that something we can do on our own. You know, Job was helped by the Almighty God in every way for him to be this kind of a character. And that is what we are aspiring for. If we are right before God, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so that God can say, yes, this is someone who is blameless and upright and fears God and runs away from evil. When you have a person like that, when adversity comes, they are not going to blame it, you know, on God. Look at Job's family, chapter 1 and verse 2. 7 sons, 3 daughters, you know, were born to him. And in verse 3, his possessions were 7,000, a sheep, and so on. And in verse 5, it says, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. That Job did regularly. So Job's family, he was able to intercede, you know, for them regularly. These sons, as they gathered together and celebrated, you know, with their sisters, perhaps they have sinned, and Job was concerned about you know, about his offspring, you know, about his children. And this is something that God had given, you know, to Job, to be able to pray for his children. We have in the world today where people sometimes will have children and they, you know, we've come across it in Africa, they'll throw them in pit latrines and, you know, they want to carry on with their lives. You know, this child is going to disturb my life, as it were. And they, you know, get rid of them. We've read of people who are selling their, you know, their children because they don't have, you know, money. We've got people who are killing babies before they are born. You know, so it's happening all over the world where the way Job's attitude was to children is not there. They just, you know, the doctors don't care. And that is an attitude that is not godly at all. And we need to bear this in mind, that, you know, Job was given by the Lord this caring attitude for his family, where he prayed for them. You know, perhaps they have done this, they have done the other. I wonder how much we agonize for our children and our grandchildren. For the unborn child, do we pray for them? Are we concerned for that life at all? Job was a man that cared for his family spiritually, you know, before God. See, many of the things that happen in the world today, the evil that comes around, many are the times that these children, the way they have been raised by their parents, they have no fear of God. They have absolutely no fear of God. I mean, how do we have what we've just been trending in the newspapers now? You know, someone just killing someone, you know, somebody walking in the evening, a young lady walking in the evening, and just kill her like that. I mean, how can you do that? I mean, it's the way this person has been brought up, there is no fear of God. You know, the sanctity of life. There's a lot that is going on in the world because of the breakdown in the families caring for the children, the grandchildren, their spiritual state. I mean, culturally, I know in the UK, you give the children the option you know, whether they can come to Sunday school or not. In Zambia, we just take them, just go. You know, you're going to Sunday school today, whether you like it or not. And sometimes even our dependents, the ones that stay with us, they are grown up. But we say, if you want to stay with us, this is the Christian homes. If you want to stay with us, you're coming with us to church. There was a funny story. My wife, one time, there was a niece of hers who came to visit us. And she wanted to have a meal with us. And then she said, you pray first, then I'll come. You know, like she didn't want to pray with us. And then my wife said, if you are not praying with us, you are not eating here. Well, funny things like that. But the thing is that we actually, the extended family, yes, it's costly, but spiritually, it has benefited many people. We had a niece who came from a Jehovah's Witness. She stayed with us, and she was converted and came, you know, to know the Lord. The family unit, I think, is critical in terms of how we raise our families in terms spiritually. I mean, I have seen it in our setup. I mean, I was the first one who was converted in the family, and I'm the second born. And all my young brothers and sisters have come to know the Lord, exposing them to the gospel, as it were. It's very important that something is done concerning children and exposure to the Word of God, so that at the right time, you know, they may come, you know, to know the Lord. The survival of the society depends on the family. Not the school, not the politicians. But a family that fears God is going to build, you know, a nation. Job was able to intercede for his children. And that was very, very important. And Job was very wealthy, was very rich. We are told here about there's so many, you know, camels and donkeys and sheep. Somebody decided to do some, you know, pricing in the current price. But all these animals that he had, if he was to try and put them in terms of money today, it was worth about 40 million, you know, pounds. There is some calculation. But the point is, if you got 40 million pounds, you are comfortable, isn't it? What else do you need? So he had all that he needed in terms of wealth. There are so many of these animals that he had. The man that didn't need, you know, anything in terms of wealth, he had it. He had it. And this actually does prove that there's nothing wrong with the Christians being rich. Here's a man that is very wealthy, and yet he's upright. He fears God, and he turned away from evil. Yes, we are warned that the love of money is a source of all sorts of evil, all kinds of evil. But here is a man that was wealthy, and yet he was able to honor God. His attitude was such that when he lost everything, he still worshipped God. His attitude was such that when he had all these things, he was able to worship, you know, the Lord. Job was a rich man. Do not condemn the rich Christian. You never know, they may be using their wealth for the glory of God. But do not love money and commit evil so that you can become rich. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we need to be balanced concerning our attitudes to wealth. There's a lot in this passage. There's the meeting between God and Satan, something that we may not understand really what is going on. But the thing is that God is in control, and there are certain things that he allows to happen to us The devil is able to do evil to us. Alright? The suffering that comes, the evil one, is the one in charge who is doing this. But what is our response when the suffering comes? See, there's that meeting between God and Satan, as it were. And he's allowed to do certain things. And they are, they, you know, when we suffer things, don't say God has done this. He has allowed it, but it's not him that is bringing that upon us. Now, it is this response that Job has, which is amazing, you know, what we see in that verse 21 there. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Shall I return there? The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine a man losing 40 million pounds in a day, and losing all his 7 sons, and losing all his 3 daughters? You know, in a day, everything is gone. And he doesn't commit suicide. He doesn't curse God. He doesn't attack anyone else. He goes and worships God. If you look at what I've been describing, what is the suffering that is going on in Mozambique or in Yemen or in Myanmar, what should we be doing? We should be turning to the Lord. Where are the churches agonizing with God? Where are the churches going out and doing what you call fasting and praying for the suffering that is going on for innocent people the world over? Are we going to God and worshiping Him and saying, Lord, help this group, help these people, change the situation in that country? Do the problems of the world help us to turn to God and worship Him? That is what Job did. When he lost all his wealth, when he lost his children, what does he do? He comes to God and worships Him. That is amazing. That is amazing. See, the troubles that are in the country concerning evil people, does that help us to turn to God and pray for the salvation of men and women? Does that help us to pray for the ministers to preach the gospel? Does that help us to want to evangelize so that the hearts of men and women can be turned to God? God can change them. The troubles of this world are because of sin. The whole creation is groaning because of sin. And so we have earthquakes, you know, we have wars, we have all kinds of calamities. We have COVID-19. Why? Because the whole creation is groaning. But when that happens, we must turn to God and say, You are in charge. Lord, come quickly. Maranatha, as it were. I wonder whether that helps us to be able to see that the problems that are there, whether it's at a family level, or at a national level, or internationally, help us to actually go to God and worship Him. A man lost 40 million pounds, lost his 7 sons, lost his 3 daughters. There's no self-pity in his life. Instead, he turns to God. Then the Lord allows Job to Satan to attack Job concerning his health. We've read, you know, how he had all these, you know, boils as it were, the painful boils from the sole of his foot up to the crown of his head. And his wife said, "Curse God and die." Right? The man was now physically suffering. It is no longer his camels and his sheep and his, you know, and his donkeys. It's no longer his sons and his daughters. It is now his body. It is now on his body. Physically, he is in trouble. Right? He's ill. His health is failing, as it were. The pains that are on the body are unimaginable. Many of us may have experienced that. You may find a healthy looking, like I have a friend in Zambia who was working for the Lord in Christian ministry, very healthy, with a family, and then just one day he was in a road accident and became paralyzed. I mean, his whole life, you know, changed. His body was no longer what it used to be. I mean, after a number of years, he's since died. But it's this change. It can be through an accident. It can be through, you know, cancer. It can be through a disease. It can be a COVID-19. I mean, anything can come and attack our bodies. And when we are in pain, and when we are suffering, at that particular point, where do we turn to? Is it self-pity? Or is it a time when we worship God? Is it a time that we turn, you know, to the Lord? You see what Job responded to his wife? You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You know, the lips speak lots and lots and lots of things. And for you to guard your lips throughout your life and not to sin against God, it's a miracle. It has to be God at work in your life. And that is what Job was like. Even when his wife says, curse God and die, Job did not sin with his lips. And he's physically unwell. What happens to us when we fall ill? When we're in an accident? When our bodies suffer one thing or the other? Let's look at Job and the way he responded to that situation. It's a challenge, you know, to us. We need to turn to God and worship Him. Job had his three friends when they came. They stayed there. The Bible says 7 days and 7 nights. Can you imagine the whole week you just sit there and say nothing? No one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. 7 days and 7 nights. Well, there's more to study in the book of Job, but this particular chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see the integrity of Job. Job's integrity was not dented by the loss of property, by the loss of his family, and by the loss of his health. His integrity was intact. God was able to keep him in perfect peace in the midst of trouble. You see, the devil's attacks are going to be intense. Sometimes there is what they call an evil day in Ephesians, where within a certain period, a very short period, you'll have so many problems, so many troubles. The wiles of the devil will come your way. But are we going to be able to maintain that integrity with God? Satan's attacks are intense. He'll attack the church. in many ways, but are we going to remain and maintain the integrity that is there? Let us learn lessons from here. No matter how the devil attacks us, as a church or as individuals, we will learn from the life of Job and be able to maintain our integrity with God. There's nothing wrong with being rich, but beware of the love of money. Judge not by outward appearance. Job, by outward appearance, he was simply someone that you can overlook and bypass. And yet he was a man that was very close to God. Our health and wealth preachers, they say that Christians should not be poor, Christians should not fall ill. Job's story counters that kind of teaching, because Christians can lose their property, Christians can fall ill, and yet they maintain their integrity before God. We as believers, we must learn to mourn with those who mourn, like Job's friends came and mourned, you know, with him at this particular, you know, point in time. There are times that Christians go through some very difficult period, and we don't identify with their suffering. We don't go alongside them and be able to help them and pray, you know, with them. God is always faithful to his people. He has demonstrated this in the life of Job very clearly. God is good and faithful to his people. You should at some point read Job 42, verse 10 to 17. Let us learn to give thanks to God in all circumstances, whatever situation we find ourselves in. Afflicted, yet maintaining integrity and uprightness. Job suffered a lot, and yet you cannot compare his suffering to the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way he was abandoned by the people that were his disciples, were his friends, the way he went to the cross, and where he died the death of a criminal, he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. Christ suffered more than Job. And so we see in the life of Job a picture of the suffering Christ. And God was good to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord said, I pray that this might perhaps go away from me. And the Lord said, no, you have to go to the cross. And the Lord went ahead and gave his life for us so that we can have eternal life. What have you done with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? What has your family done with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, people will argue about Christianity. Just take them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he really live on this earth? Did he die on the cross? Did he rise from the dead? Take them to the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is just the proof of what Christianity is all about. The Lord came and lived on this earth, and it's a historical fact. And he died on the cross, and he rose again. And wherever his word has been preached, people have gotten converted. The church in Africa has grown from nothing 150 years ago and keeps growing. Even where people are saying away, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity is the opium of the people. What happens is government corrupts in state, but the church keeps growing. The world over, the church is growing. How can God be good when there is so much suffering in the world? Well, the world is groaning because of sin. And the Lord has prepared his own who will be with him eternally. All we need to do is maintain that integrity with God, just like Job did. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for in him we have life and life eternal. People might say all sorts of things that this is false, they will argue and so on. The very atheists, they would die and face, come face to face with the judgment of God. Oh, that we may worship God in the midst of all the troubles that are there in the world and maintain our Christian stand. Don't have self-pity. Maintain your stand as God has given you, you know, the Holy Spirit, to be able to honor him. Let me end there and just pray briefly before we sing our next hymn. Let's pray together.